The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Speaking of the millennial kingdom, is there any difference in entering it and inheriting it? Should these be thought of as synonymous? What does the Bible say about it? We'll be thinking about these things today on Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're located in North Texas, and you can find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. We have some free ebooks there and thousands of articles which we've written on the free grace position. Once again, that's faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
We are back to another exciting episode of Grace in Focus, and I believe you have a question, Bob. By the way, that's Bob, and this is Ken. Who is the question from, and what is the question?
It's from Gage, and he asks an engaging question.
Ooh, I get that.
A very good question. He says, I'm aware that not all verses referencing entering the kingdom or inheriting the kingdom connect to salvation. And what he means by that is not every passage that talks about inheriting the kingdom refers to getting into the kingdom,
right,
and that sort of thing. And so he says, how do we differentiate verses about entering the kingdom, which are tied to eternal life, and verses that deal with inheriting the kingdom that are dealing with eternal rewards? Or another way of putting it is, how do we differentiate verses that deal with inheriting the kingdom as something every believer has and inheriting the kingdom as something only overcoming believers have?
Sure.
And he's got a second question here. Are these terms always synonymous, the terms meaning entering or inheriting the kingdom, or are they sometimes interchangeable, or are they consistently distinct?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the second question, I would say what we need to recognize is there are times when inheriting the kingdom is something which is true of everyone who is going to enter the kingdom. It's true of every believer. And there are other times when inheriting the kingdom is only true of some of those who will enter the kingdom. So they're not synonymous, although they could be in certain contexts. They're certainly not consistently distinct. Let me give an example. Romans 8:17. Maybe this will help clear something up here. This is a pretty famous verse, and I think Zane Hodges in his commentary on Romans has done a terrific job explaining it. In verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, not to our spirit, but with our spirit. This is a twofold witness.
Right.
Whenever we pray, Abba, Father,
he's praying with us.
He's praying with us, and he's saying, this is one of our children, and our human spirit, which we're not aware of, is also saying, amen, I am one of your children, that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs.
And note, if children, which you just said we are, as
right,
believers, well, so we should say, and since we're children,
then we're heirs.
We're heirs.
And he says, heirs of God. So every child of God is an heir of God. I call this passive inheritance. That's something every believer has. And joint heirs with Christ conditionally, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So all believers are heirs of God, but only believers who endure in a life of suffering with him will be glorified together. And by the way, that's in the passage you talked about in a previous episode where you talked about Mark 8:34-38.
Mm-hmm.
Deny yourself, take up your cross,
right,
and follow me. Whoever saves his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will gain it. And then the Son of Man is coming in the glory of, then he will recompense each according to his works.
And by the way, the word joint heir there is,
yep,
one word in Greek, and it's a different word. You got heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
Right.
And it's a different word. We've got the preposition on there.
The soon, with preposition.
Right, right,
yeah,
the soon with it.
And by the way, that soon prefix is also on the suffering with it.
Exactly.
It's
and the glorified with.
Glorified is also there.
That's right.
There.
It, yeah, occurs three times.
So here we find that there's an heirship. And by the way, this isn't the Hindenburg. This isn't some kind of dirigible. Anyway, if you look over, for example, in the book of Galatians, you have both uses of this concept of inheritance in Galatians. In the opening chapters, in the first four chapters, you have a passive inheritance that's true of every believer.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
It seems to me that we see this passive and active inheritance elsewhere in Paul's writings. For example, in the book of Galatians, in chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, "For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." So this is not ruling with Christ in the life to come. This is based on the preceding context, the reception of the Spirit by faith.
Right. And it says that up in, so you're talking about Galatians 3:18.
Right.
But a few verses earlier in verse 14, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So it's not works here.
And this is a passive inheritance every believer has. But now look over at Galatians 5:19-21. There's a list of the works of the flesh, and he ends by saying, "I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice, or really it should be do such things, will not inherit the kingdom of God." This is an active inheritance.
That's doing the works of the flesh that you...
That will disqualify you from ruling
this
and reigning. Now, it doesn't mean, for example, if you're envious, that you're never going to rule or reign. What it means is, if this is what your life is characterized by, these vice lists, that means you're in the spiritual far country, like Luke 15, the prodigal son, and you're not walking in fellowship with God. And as such, you would not inherit the kingdom. Now, the same idea is found in Ephesians. In Ephesians 1, what is it, around verse 11?
11 and 14, right.
So in him also we have obtained an inheritance. We've already received it. It's not a future. And then in verse 14, how does that go?
Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession? And this is the church.
Right.
You know, so this is obviously a passive. We're placed in the body of Christ.
But yet the same active idea occurs in Ephesians 5:5-7, which, by the way, is parallel to Galatians 5:19-21 and 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. And in Ephesians 5:5-7, in verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things," the vices he just mentioned, "the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience." Oh, and I forgot in verse 5, I should have read, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God." So that's an active inheritance.
This is just like the Galatian passage, the active, in Galatians 5:21, here in Ephesians 5:5. You have the same thing. Those who practice these vices, if that's what characterizes your life, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and it's true in our inheritance laws today.
Sure.
Right? In other words, if you are a child of your parent, you are not guaranteed that you're going to inherit a certain percentage of your parents' estate. Like, let's say, for example, that, like me, I come from three children, right? Three children in our family. It doesn't mean I'm guaranteed I'm going to get one-third of the estate.
You might not get any of it.
Right, right. And I have a relative I knew of a situation where this relative was very rebellious, and the parents wrote that child out of their will. And when they passed, none of the inheritance went that way, other than a small token amount, but nothing went that way. And think of Genesis 49. In Genesis 49, God goes through the inheritance of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the oldest sons of Israel, Reuben, Levi, and Simeon, all are bypassed for both the double portion.
Because of what they had done.
Right.
Right.
Or the blessing.
Right.
The double portion goes to Joseph, and they get two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. And the blessing goes to Judah. Judah becomes the line of Christ. And the three oldest ones are clearly stated in Genesis 49 are disqualified by what they did.
Yeah, it's their actions, right?
Yeah, two of them were killing all of the...
And Reuben slept with the concubines.
With one of the his father's wives.
Right.
Well, concubines, some people call those porcupines.
Now, I'd like to go back to the Romans 8 passage with you, because I haven't heard your view of this. When we did mention in Romans 8:17 that... all believers are children of God, and he says in verse 17, and since we are children, we are heirs of God. I'm just kind of curious, Bob. I'm sure this is one of those genitive, objective genitive or subjective. When he says we are heirs of God, do you see that as we belong to him? Or we haven't inherited like his life.
We inherited him.
His life. You know, this sounds almost sacrilegious. I don't mean he belongs to us in the sense that we have his life. So is this an objective genitive or a subjective genitive? We are God's heirs. In other words, we are his possessions, which would go along with Ephesians.
Right.
Or is this just saying we are heirs?
Ephesians 1:18 says that.
Right. Or is he saying here in Romans that we haven't inherited him in the sense that we are... we have his life.
I don't know. Good question.
Well, I bring that up for the one who asked the question here. But it's obviously a passive thing. When you brought up the idea of if you're disinherited from your parents, you're still their child.
Well, God does have an inheritance in us. That's true.
Yes.
And every believer has an inheritance of God. That's true.
Right.
I don't think they're both intended by this expression in Romans 8:17.
Right. I've always wondered what Paul meant by that.
But let me answer one more thing regarding Gage. How do we know the difference between the active and the passive inheritance?
When one is by grace or by faith, and when one involves works.
Simple, right?
Right. Inheriting the kingdom is works. If it involves works, we're talking about rewards. Entering the kingdom is by grace through faith.
And if it's something we already have, then it's not talking about a future possible reward. If it's talking about a future possible reward, then it's not talking about what we already have as a passive inheritance.
Bingo.
I hope that helps, Gage. Good stuff. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, does John 15:6 teach that unfruitful believers, like unfruitful branches, will be thrown into the fire and burned? Join us next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.